Now, this morning we are going to be starting a new series looking at the book of James. James is quite a strange book in the New Testament. It's a letter, and yet it's a very strange kind of letter. It doesn't have the usual greetings that you would find in a usual letter, such as one written by the Apostle Paul. And very much this letter reads much more like an essay or a tract. And unlike a letter, which is specifically addressed to someone, it's also very vague about who it's addressed to. It simply says that it's addressed to the 12 tribes of the 12 nations. As a letter in the Bible, James over the years has not had a great press. Martin Luther famously said it was an epistle of straw, mainly because he saw James's views on faith and works to be different to that of the Apostle Paul. And Luther was very strong on living by faith alone. It's by grace alone, by faith alone, and it's not by works that we are saved. But I hope as we look at James's view on faith and works, that whilst his views might be slightly different to Paul's, that they're certainly not incompatible with Paul's views. The other thing that we should notice in this letter is that there are no opening greetings, as usually would be found in a letter. Rather, James goes straight in with the issues. Now, there are also questions over who wrote this letter. It's clearly written by James, but there are six Jameses in the New Testament. So the question is, which James is it? It has to be a James who's prominent enough that they don't really need an introduction, because James in this letter does not introduce himself. And really, when you think about it, there are only two Jameses that would fit. There is James, the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, one of the sons of thunder. And he's, of course, really prominent in the Gospels. Remember, he's kind of in the inner core of the disciples. Jesus would take away Peter, James and John, for example, when they went away and Jesus was transfigured. But that James was martyred really early in the life of the church, and so it's very unlikely that that James wrote this letter. Much more likely is that it was written by James, the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother of Jesus, who was, of course, a very prominent leader in the early church. And so it's likely that it's this James who writes this letter. So over the next few weeks, God willing, we're going to look at this book, this letter, which is very practical in nature. And hopefully this will be helpful to our faith, particularly in our present circumstances. Now in the passage that we read this morning in James chapter 1, verses 1 through to 18, there are two main themes that I want to pick up on. One I want to focus on for the majority of the sermon. One I just want to say a few words about just towards the end. The first theme I want to think about from this passage is about trials. In our lives, of course, we often face trials of all different kinds, don't we? We face trials of bereavement and losing a loved one. We face trials of losing a job or a relationship breakdown, illness or financial trouble. There are so many trials that we face all the time. And trials can often quickly spring up from nowhere, can't they? The word used here in the book of James for the word trial is the same way that Jesus uses when he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, when the man on his journey falls into the hands of robbers. And just think about it. The man was on his journey. He was expecting to get from one place to another when all of a sudden he was attacked by robbers. And so that trial came very suddenly upon him. And it's the same word that's used here in the book of James. And of course, we all know that experience, don't we? That experience of life going along just fine, pretty smoothly, when suddenly, bang, out of nowhere, things suddenly change. And in many ways, what we're facing in the world at the moment with the coronavirus outbreak, that's happened so suddenly, hasn't it? And without warning. It's happened, and a trial has come that we face in our world and in our nation. If you think about it, for so much of the last year, the news was dominated by Brexit and when we would finally leave the EU. But suddenly, out of nowhere, the world is in turmoil. Many people losing their lives, hospital workers and key workers in danger, businesses closed and no longer able to trade, people forced to work from home or stay at home, people being forced into isolation. We now have words and phrases that we never thought we would use, such as social distancing. Who would have thought 6 months ago that this would have happened? Who would have thought even 6 weeks ago that our lives here in the UK would be so affected? And yet things have moved so quickly. We are facing a massive trial. And so James's first theme in our passage this morning is trials. And he starts by saying something that is actually really strange. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, that's a really strange thing to say, isn't it? Because we don't often associate trials with joy. In our Western world, as far as I can see it, our aim is to avoid any kind of form of discomfort whatsoever. That's really our aim in the Western world. We don't want any discomfort at all. So what's James on about here? Well, the first thing to say here is that James is not being glib about trials. He's not being perverse about trials, as if they don't really matter. And it's all about having a stiff upper lip and facing up to them. Trials are real. They are difficult. And we never want to underplay that. Whatever we are going through, it's very real for us at that time. But what James is referring to here is the result of trials. "Consider it pure joy," he says, "because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." You see, James has the bigger picture in mind. And actually, we know this to be true in our own experience, don't we? You see, often we come through a difficult time, and we know because of that experience that we are stronger for it. And James here is concerned with the outcome of trials on our faith. You see, if life was a smooth path, it would be easy to have faith, wouldn't it? No problem to believe in God when things are going well. It's much harder, isn't it, when trials come, when things are really tough. And you might even ask the question, is God even there? And does he care? Does he care about me in my situation with all that I am going through? You see, trials test our faith. But James's call is to persevere, to cling to God despite the trial, not diminishing the trial, but knowing that by the end of it, your faith will be deeper and more mature. You see, trials give opportunity for our faith to grow, and that's why we are to consider it pure joy, because we know that they are good for us. I wonder if you remember as a child having to take some foul medicine of one type or another. And it was a struggle as your mum or your dad or your granny or whoever had the medicine, as they took the spoon and they poured out the foul medicine into the spoon. It was quite a thought, wasn't it? You thought, I'm going to have to take this foul medicine. And it was a real struggle as you saw that spoon coming towards your mouth and you thought, I'm just going to have to do it. And you took the spoon and you swallowed it down. And you probably made all kinds of faces as you did so. But the reason that you went through that trial of taking that foul medicine was because you had a longer term vision. Taking the foul medicine was short term, but in the long term, you knew that it was good for you, that it would make you well. The same is true of trials, isn't it? They bring perseverance to the Christian. And the one who stands firm, who clings to God, will receive the crown of life. You see, so often, even in the Christian life, we're all about trial avoidance, aren't we? We don't want to go through difficult times. And sometimes we have the mistaken view that having God in our life is going to make our life really easy. And that God is only blessing us when things are going really well. But actually, the opposite is probably true. Being a Christian is difficult. It's the hard road. It's the narrow way. Think of how many in the Bible who suffered many trials of all different types. Job, Jeremiah, Daniel, Paul, Peter, and of course Jesus himself. And if Jesus suffered, we too should expect to suffer. We're not to actively seek after trials, but we are to know that they will come. And when they do come, we are to hold to God and not to doubt. You see, sometimes at the first sign of any trouble, the temptation is to blame God. God, why did you bring this trouble to me? The temptation is to turn away from God. Now, of course, there is a place, isn't there, for honest doubt. There is a place for asking God, where are you when you're in times of trouble? You just have to go to the Psalms to see real honesty before Almighty God. In the same way as the psalmists, we have to be aware that everything good comes from God. Everything he brings to us is for our good and for our strengthening. He is the unchangeable God. As James says, he does not change like the shifting shadows. Therefore, because he does not change, we can cling to him through the trial, not turn away from him. We may not understand what we are going through. We may not understand why we are going through what we're going through. But we're not to doubt in a way which turns away from God. We're to seek after God, to ask for wisdom and to ask for help. We must always have the long term in view. And so I ask you, in the trials that you are facing today, are you seeking after the Lord? Do you believe that this is truly for your good and for the benefit of your faith? Do you believe that the unchangeable God is still there, that he is your heavenly Father, and that he knows exactly what you're going through? You see, God can help you and give you wisdom in the midst of it all. And so I encourage you, persevere, keep going. And the last wee thing just on this bit, and it refers back to joy. You see, you might still be thinking to yourself, how can James consider trials to be pure joy? Well, the world's view is that if you have the most in material terms, and if you have good health and everything you need, then you should be joyful. That's the world's view, isn't it? If you have everything you need, if you have a nice car, a nice house, everything you need, then you should be joyful. But experience would tell us there are so many people who have everything that they need, who are rich beyond measure in material terms, and yet they don't know joy. David Myers, in a book called The Pursuit of Happiness, confirms this. He says, increasing wealth does not lead in any way and does not add to a person's self-perception of joy or happiness. They don't have it through material things. But in contrast, it's the experience of many Christians that even in the face of great trial and persecution, that they've known peace and, yes, even joy. Now that's really strange as we think about it. How can that be that they are facing such trials, such suffering, and yet they've known joy? Well, the fact is that during that time of trial, they've known God's closeness in the midst of their terrible situation. And so I ask you today, even in the midst of trials, do you know joy? Knowing that you should cling to God, persevere, and keep going. Because if you do, you know that it will be worth it. And that God holds you in the palm of his hand. Now, the second theme that I want to think about just from our passage today, just very briefly this morning, is linked to this. Because it talks about material wealth. And we find this part in verses 9 through to 11 in our passage today. James here echoes in verses 9 through to 11 what Jesus says in the Synoptic Gospels and elsewhere in terms of material wealth. And he's basically turning the world's view upside down. Because he says here, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. Now, what's James on about here? Well, what James is talking about here is the transient nature of riches and material wealth. The riches and wealth won't last forever. And in a world where being rich and having material wealth is valued, and we tend to put the rich up on a pedestal, James very much turns that view upside down, doesn't he? Now, we have to be very careful about how we read this part of the book of James, because the fact is that most of us here in the UK are rich. Most people who are listening to this stream today would be in the top 10%, even in the top 5% of the world's richest people. That means at least 90% of people in our world are poorer than we are. That's quite a thought, isn't it? And we have to make sure that we don't trust our material wealth more than we trust God. This week, our economy in the UK has slowed down by the greatest rate since records began. Many people are going to face hardship, loss of jobs, struggles. We may even face these things ourselves. But in the midst of this, we're not to trust our material wealth, but we are to trust that the Lord will provide what we need and that he is faithful. And we're to have a proper perspective. The life is not about material wealth. It's not gathering in all these material things. Rather, it's honouring God with who we are and all that we do. So I encourage you today, when you go through difficulty in your life, when you're facing trials, this is not God punishing you. This is an opportunity for growth, to grow closer to God in your faith. And during these times of difficulty in our world and in our nation, we need to hear that message, to seek after God, to persevere, and to know that the one who perseveres will receive the crown of life that the Lord promised to those who love him. Amen. Shall we just join together in prayer? Let's pray together. Our loving Lord God, we thank you for your word. which is so rich in so many ways. And we recognise that in this passage in James today, that we have thought about weighty themes of trials and temptations and material wealth and trying to have the proper perspective. Loving Lord God, we confess in our lives that often we seek our own comfort rather than seeking after you, that we seek to avoid hardship in any form rather than seeking after you and seeking to do what is right. But we recognise, Lord God, that trials come in many different ways, and often they come all of a sudden. But Father, when trials come in our lives, and maybe as we come before you this day, we are facing trials right at this moment. Lord God, when those trials come, we pray that we would not turn away from you, but rather we would seek after you, and we would know that you are the God who gives us comfort and strength, who gives us wisdom, and who helps us to persevere. And Lord God, we thank you for the promise in your word that when we do persevere, when we persevere to the end, that we can trust that you will give us the crown of life because we have honoured you with all that we are. Loving Lord God, we recognise there are many challenges in our passage today as well. Challenges about material wealth. Challenges about putting the rich on a pedestal rather than seeing things with a proper perspective. Lord God, we pray that we would see things through Jesus' eyes. And that, Lord God, we would want to honour you with our material wealth. We would not just trust in material wealth, but Lord God, we would rather trust in you. So loving Lord God, we thank you that we can gather around your word this day, and we ask that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives now, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.